Let you remain standing tonight, please, for the reading of God's Word. We'll do our best to bring the little... I'm not ready to put this thing on my nose. I try to bring the thought the Lord has laid on our heart for tonight. I hope it will be an encouragement and a strength to your life. It's not much, but it's what God's given me for tonight. And so that's what we're going to be preaching from. So you can be turning your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter, if you would please, in chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. And I don't know how long that I will run on it, but I do intend to preach some messages on the character of the Antichrist and do some more preaching here in the book of 1 Peter as the Lord leads. And so I trust you'll be a praying for us tonight, because we certainly need the help of God. The Bible said in verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. And it's almost like Peter copies from Brother Paul in the book of Ephesians in chapter 1 in this particular verse, when he exclaims, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now may the Lord add his blessing to that. And let's go to the Lord in a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for the night that you've given us together. I'm grateful for the Word of God that is before us. I thank you for Jesus. I plead the blood tonight. I plead the blood, Lord, upon the preaching of the Word of God, that you would provide power and unction to preach and great liberty. And Lord, has already been asked tonight, may the Spirit of God do a work in each of our hearts that will change us for all time and eternity. May the Holy Ghost of God, Lord, have the preeminence in our life in magnifying Christ to each of us. I do pray that you'll fill me with the Spirit of God and with wisdom. Help the sick, help those that are unable to be here. Bless in a wonderful way, Lord, in the preaching. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you now, and you may be seated. There's three great graces that are mentioned in the Word of God or in the Bible, and they're found in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. The Bible said, Now abideth these three, faith, hope, and charity, and the greatest of these is charity. And so faith and hope and charity, or we might say love, are the three greatest graces in all the Word of God. These are the abiding graces that are vital in their influence on our character and control in our relationship to Christianity. Combining these produce all the fruit of the Spirit. That is, if you'll go back and look at the nine fruit of the Spirit in the book of Galatians, faith, hope, and charity will cover all nine of those specific fruits mentioned in charity. It's faith that takes hold on the unseen and prevents us from going too much or giving too much heed to that which is visible. I want you to understand that. It's faith that lays hold on those things that are unseen and will prevent you and I from giving too much heed to those things that are visible in life. I'm afraid we've raised carnal Christians, if there is such a thing in this generation, that place too much of an emphasis on the things seen. And it's not the things seen that should really control our life and influence our life, but it is those things that are not seen that should have the control over each of our lives. It's hope that takes hold of the future and prevents us from giving undue attention to that which is temporal and present. I want to say that everything in this life is temporal. And it is the virtue of hope that lays hold upon the unseen and helps us with those things that are temporal to overcome the temporal and the things present. You've heard this old saying that my home, I was not in this world, I'm only passing through. My home is laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And I hope that's right for you and I tonight. That we've not got our tent pegs down too deep in this world. Amen. I hope we've got our affections set on things above. I hope we've got our hearts set on the Lord Jesus Christ and our affection set upon things above. Now, love is that which takes hold of the unselfish and the divine and presents us or protects us or prevents us from being absorbed in carnal and idolatrous self-interest. And if it was not for the love of God, each of us no doubt would be involved in those things that are self-interest us. And by the way, I'm afraid that many Baptists tonight are more interested in self than they are in God. That is exactly right. That's why we do not have the power and we do not have the presence and the blessing of God in our life as we should, is because we're too wrapped up in ourselves. Paul puts it this way, that we have become more worshipers of the creature than we do the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. And Paul said, amen. And that's absolutely right. We've become creature worshipers. And many of us have become more interested in ourselves than we are in Christ and in the work of God. I really believe if we had laid it to our heart to become more involved in what God's doing, spend more time around the house of God, and more time in the Word of God, more time in prayer, more time in taking care of those things that are spiritual rather than those things that are temporal and carnal and selfish, we'd have much greater power and much greater victory in our life for the glory and honor of God. But it is the second of these three graces that I want to preach on for just a little while tonight. It's that marvelous grace that the Bible calls hope. We have here, the Bible said we've been begotten again unto a lively hope. And that word begotten means to bear or to beget. It simply stated, it means that we have been born again unto a lively hope. I'm glad, thank God, that what I have is alive. Amen. I told those people at the funeral home the other day that Baptists would definitely be the first people to go to heaven. I've got scripture to prove that. For the Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we're just about as dead as anybody can get. Ain't that? Come on, somebody say amen. Say you're right. But we have been born again unto a lively hope. It's not a dead hope. It is a lively hope. And we've been born again to that. In fact, Brother Peter says later on in this book that we are lively stones, that we're living stones. Amen. He takes that phrase, no doubt, from what the Lord labeled him, Peter, a little stone. Peter said, I am alive. I've been begotten unto a lively hope. Therefore, I must be a living stone. I'm alive. I want to say to you tonight, church, I am alive in Christ. Hallelujah to God. Being born again from above and being made alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this new birth, and hope proceeded from the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been given a lively hope, or begotten into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I've said this so many times, I'll say it again, that the resurrection is the capstone of our salvation. I'm glad, thank God, that Christ was born in a manger. We're getting ready to celebrate that. And I'm glad that He came and was born in a manger and they laid Him in swaddling clothes. But I'm telling you, if that's all that He ever did, we would yet be in our sins and on our way to a Christless eternity. I'm glad that He lived a sinless life. He could not sin, did no sin, knew no sin, but was made to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. But that's not enough. I'm glad that He died. I'm glad that He voluntarily laid His life down. No man took it from Him. He said, I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. No man took it from Him. He laid it down of His own self. But in that is not enough. Oh, no. The capstone of our salvation is when He got up out of that grave. You remember what those in white apparel told Mary when she came? She said, that angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? I'm glad, thank God, that He's alive. And if we could ever get a hold of that, not I say this so many times, because He lives, we can live also. That's exactly what Peter is saying here, that we have been born again unto a lively hope. Hallelujah to God. And it's that hope that I want to preach on for just a little while tonight. I'm glad that I've got hope. I'm glad I'm not a hopeless individual. I want to say this, hope put a smile on your face. Hope will help you make it when nothing else can help you make it. Hope will get you through the hard times when nothing else will. Hope will get you through the trials and the tribulations when nothing else will. Hope is what gives you light at the end of the tunnel. And there's a lot of folks tonight don't have any light whatsoever at the end of the tunnel. And the reason they don't is because they don't have any hope in them. But God has begotten us, church, unto a lively hope. He doesn't want us running around living our life defeated and cast down all the time or browbeaten down all the time. Hallelujah, we're alive in Christ. Somebody said, preacher, you don't understand my life. No, but He understands your life. And the Bible has not changed. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's forever settled in heaven what God said. He meant, and He meant what He said. And He put it in a book for you and I to read. And it said that He has given us a living or a lively hope in Him. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I don't see too many of you look like you got much hope tonight. Some of you don't look like you're going to make it through the night. I see rigor mortis setting in on some of you. My lands. Why is it always on a Tuesday night? I want somebody to answer me that. Why is it always on a Tuesday night? Y'all want to go to Wednesday night? I mean, maybe we change nights and we'd get over the hump on it. But it always seems like it's always on a Tuesday night. Some of you starting to smile. You know I love you. Hallelujah to God. But I want you to enjoy. Hey, I'm here because I want you to enjoy your life. Christ has begotten you unto a lively hope that you may enjoy your life. I'm telling you that there is joy to be had in the Lord Jesus. Amen. I sat over today worrying about Miss Hall and worrying about other things, and my arms got to hurting. I thought, Lord, have mercy. I felt like I was going to die before I got over here. But I come with hope. Amen. Praise God, you might feel bad today, but you have hope you can feel better tomorrow. Yes. Yes. Amen. You might be sick today, but there's hope you'll get over it tomorrow. You might have a problem today, but the problem may leave you tomorrow. I've had problems to crop up that look like a mountain, and really, when they come to a finality, I found out they wasn't nothing but a molehill. And most Baptists make mountains out of molehills. God has given you a lively hope to get you over that molehill you're caught hung up on. Amen. Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. What a God we have. Now, I want to say this to start off with. I want to begin tonight on the negative side. There is a negative side which will have negative and positive effects both in this thing called hope. That's where I want to start. I want to say, first of all, that it is not a dead hope. You know there's a dead faith? Read the book of James. There is a faith that is dead. The Bible said faith without works is dead. Amen. Now I'm telling you, there is also a dead hope. People talk about heaven hope, but there's a dead hope. But what Christ has given you and I is not a dead hope. He said that we have been begotten us again. And mark that word again. God give us life once and we fell into sin, but He has given us life the second time. We have been begotten again, that is the second time, unto a lively hope. It is not a dead hope. I want to say hallelujah to God. That is not a dead hope. And it's not a dead hope because of God's promise. Listen to what God says in the book of Titus chapter 1 verses 1 and 2. Paul said, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. In hope of what, Brother Paul? In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the foundation of the world. Now, I don't see how Armenians can get a hold of anything else other than we have eternal life, ladies and gentlemen. And if it's an eternal life, it's a living hope. If we have eternal life, and it's been promised us by God, and the Bible said that God cannot lie. You think God would lie? You think God would tell you, if you repent of your sins and trust me, that I'll give you eternal life and then turn around and take it away from you? God's not an Indian giver, buddy. No, sir. What God gives, God gives. And by the way, what God does is done, ladies and gentlemen. Read it in the book of Ecclesiastes. What God does is done. And when God birthed you into the family of God and gave you that livelihood, it was a done deal, if I can put it that way. Hallelujah. I don't care what John Wesley said. I don't care what Charles Wesley said. I don't care what the Armenians uptown's got to say. The Water Dogs has got to say. General Baptist. I don't care what they got to say. They'll tell you you can lose it. I met a fella up here at the funeral home on Saturday evening. Old J.W. Hare. And I've got to believe in my heart, old Brother Hare's a saved man. I mean, he took a stand against that crowd over in Bremen. And a stand against sin. But he's Armenian to the bone. I started to ask him, tell me what sin you got to commit to lose what God gave you. I didn't want to upset him. Because I'm telling you right now, he couldn't tell me. Neither can nobody else tell me. They can tell you you could lose it. But I'm telling you, what we have is a living hope. And we are alive forevermore. And God has promised us that, ladies and gentlemen. He has promised us eternal life. And what God's promised, God will give. Amen. If there's anybody here lost tonight, I'd recommend you get on that altar and get it. Because I'm telling you, time's running out. But when black people openly get up on television and national television and talk about exterminating white people, it might get on in America. Now, I know I'm on tape, but I'm glad I got three or four over there with banana clips in them, buddy. Amen. Scopes, too, and a lot of ammo, and know how to use them and would use them. Amen. Brother, we're living in perilous times. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? You better, you never know when one of them idiots is going to go off on you. You young boys that cruise around in the law and stuff, you never know when one of them idiots down there is going off on you. There's a black man on there today, a black preacher that refuted that black man and said that there were blacks that were racist. And he said there was 11 black girls in California that beat up two white women just for no reason at all. I'm telling you, friend, they beat me up. They're going to have to get through a 45. I know Jerome ain't here. I'm free to say that. Hallelujah. But it's a lively hope because it's a promise of eternal life. Then it's not only promised, it's not only lively because it's promised, but it's lively because it's powerful. When Paul was in front of the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter number 23, and they were quarreling about what Paul had done. And in verse 6, Paul, when he perceived that one part was Sadducees and the other was Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I'm called into question." Are you hearing what I'm saying? It is a living hope because it is a powerful hope, ladies and gentlemen. Paul said, "They're questioning me because I preach that Christ got up out of the grave." You can preach just about anything in most churches you want, but start preaching on the fact that Christ got up out of the grave and you might be in for the fight of your life. Somebody said, "Oh, Brother Hall, not in Baptist churches." I'm going to tell you why you will. You can't preach a resurrection, ladies and gentlemen, without preaching the fact that people have got a responsibility to Christ and they'll face Him someday with their responsibilities to Him. Now I'm telling you, if judgment must first begin at the house of the Lord, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear in all that?
Right. Amen.
Are you listening to what I'm telling you? He got up out of the grave. Amen. Just like old Lazarus. Somebody said when he called Lazarus out, he had to call Lazarus because if he just said come forth, everybody in the grave would have got up out of the grave. Hey, men, there's coming a day when every voice, everyone in the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they'll get up, some unto life and some unto damnation.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
I believe I can get loose a little bit if y'all would help me. Are you listening? They didn't want Paul preaching that Jesus got up out of the grave. They had just killed him. They knew if they believed that, friend. That's why the Pentecostals are all messed up on Acts 2:38, where it talks about being baptized in Jesus' name.
Right.
That crowd he said that to had just crucified him. And for them to be baptized in Jesus' name, that is under His authority, they had to admit to the fact that He's Lord, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Amen to God. Now I've got news for you. When you went down in that water and got up again, that is a living testimony that Christ is Lord in your life and you have submitted yourself to Him.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
He bears rule over you. That's the problem with Baptists today. They're like those in the book. They say, we will not have this man to rule over us.
Amen.
Amen. And by the way, and secondly, most Baptists don't want a preacher to tell them what to do either. Are you listening?
Amen.
I've had them to tell me that before. You ain't going to tell me. Had a woman stand right back there by them doors before putting them double doors. You ain't going to tell me what kind of clothes you wear. I'm going to tell you what kind of clothes she's wearing right now. Grave clothes. Are you listening? People don't want authority.
Right.
That's a problem all over the world. That's what the problem is, a power struggle, and people do not want to submit to the authority of government. They do not want to submit to the authority of preachers. They do not want to submit to the authority of the Lord. But there's coming a day when they'll not have a choice, ladies and gentlemen. And if you're lost and you're still living to go through the tribulation period, you won't have a choice either. Somebody said, "Oh, I'll bow my neck." You might bow your neck, but I'll guarantee you He knows how to set His foot on your neck. I'll guarantee you on that. He will rule and reign with with a rod of iron, and that tells me he might tan some hides while he's in the process of it. Amen. Come on, somebody help me out a little bit. Y'all ain't that dead. I'm trying to tell you you're alive, and you're telling me you're dead. Well, hey, we're alive because of its power. Friend, there's coming a day that our loved ones in the graves are going to get up.
That's
right. We just passed through the anniversary of Miss Hall's mother's 28th year. 28 years of being in the grave. Now I've got all the confidence that a man can have. But because of that living hope, that there's coming a day when she'll hear a voice say, come up hither. And that body, ladies and gentlemen, by the power of God, will be raised incorruptible, and that mortal will put on immortality, and death will be swallowed up in life. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
Are you listening to what I'm saying? I'm talking about, hey, it's a living hope, a lively hope, because of the power that it has.
Yes.
Billy, get up.
Amen.
I remember the last time Brother Billy was in service. I don't know if he ever told you. I don't know if I ever told you. He sat right back over there on that backside. He jumped up and hollered, glory to God! And he sat back down after the service and said, Brother Hall, it's the first time I ever shouted in my life. I said, I hope it ain't your last. And it ain't been. He's probably shouting right now.
Amen.
Probably sees her in church and he's shouting over it.
Amen.
He'll get up.
Amen.
I'm telling you, all the saved will get up. Say, well, preacher, that ain't much to preach on. It's not. You let one of your dear loved ones down in a hole in the ground with no hope.
Right.
You'll change your tune right quick, friend, to bury somebody that you know in your heart has no hope. Oh, they'll get up. But they'll get up 1,000 years after we do, and it won't be to go to heaven. It'll be to stand at the white throne judgment of God, and it's not their sins being judged, it's their works, and they're bound for hell without God and without hope.
That's right. Amen.
I can tell you one thing. The dead, those that died outside of Christ, will lay in that hole for 1,007 years after we get up. Amen to God. I'm glad I got a lively hope. Did I ever tell you about it? September the 13th, 1970, the Holy Ghost came by where I was, and God saved me and imparted into my life a living hope, ladies and gentlemen, and it is the hope of glory that's in my soul tonight.
Amen.
Now, I want to say number three, not only because of what was my first point? Because of the promise, because of the power, but because of the prospect.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's a living hope because of the prospect.
Yes,
now, y'all sitting there dead at 4 o'clock in the morning, I got up at 10 minutes to 3 this morning to give you this message.
Great.
And we're sitting like we're dead.
Great.
I got up before Penn got up. Jerome gets up at 4 o'clock and he can't even come to church. Sunday morning, hide, skin, and time. You hold and I'll skin. If Brother Ricky can come for 4 or 5 years, getting up 3:30 in the morning, he can come.
Amen.
Amen, that's right. Church is church, friend. Somebody said, well, ain't much happening down there. What you put into it? Walk up to the gas pump uptown, say, fill me up. Well, you got to put your card in here. I ain't got a card. Well, you don't get no gas. You only get out what you put in.
Right.
You don't get nothing out of church if you don't put anything into church. Amen. Come on now. I said it's because of the prospect. Listen to this. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing. It's not just an appearing. Son, there have been a lot of things appeared. I'm talking about a glorious appearing of who? And it doesn't just say God, of our great God. I'm glad. Thank God, old Tony the Tiger, you say I'm great. But I'm going to tell you something. God's who's great, friend. That glorious appearing of our great God. And by the way, that great God is our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Many, what a prospect. We have got a prospect of seeing the King of Glory. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of Hosts. He is the King of Glory. Open up your doors for the King of Glory and let the King of Kings enter. Hallelujah to God. Amen to God. That's what they're going to holler when he gets back to heaven. Open the doors, boys. Here he comes. Great. And he's got his bride with him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm going to be part of that bride, sis. I'm not a Baptist brider, but I'm getting close. I'm a third cousin, I think. You think somebody believes in falling from grace is in the bride? You believe somebody that denies the sufficiency of the blood of Christ to save and keep them is in the bride? Somebody said, you oughtn't to say that. I wouldn't. I know you wouldn't. That's why I'm up here. I don't believe they're in there. How can you deny the blood of Christ and even be saved? Come on now. Smile at me. Say amen. Man tells me, well, how are you saved? Well, I'm saved by grace. Well, how are you kept? Oh, I got to work around that now. Don't do good works. Well, what good work do you not do to lose it? Thank God I've got a glorious prospect. I'm going to see Jesus someday. That ought to set our hearts aflame, ladies and gentlemen, that he that was beaten beyond recognition and died on the cross in our place is coming again in the clouds of glory, and every eye will behold the King of Glory in the clouds. Amen. But that excites me. The older I get, the more excited about it I get. I ain't losing my joy, buddy. Now, I made up my mind, I ain't going to let a lot of deadbeats lose my joy for me. And I ain't going to let a bunch of Crossways Baptists lose my joy for me.
Amen.
No, sir. They can get cross stitches for all I give a flip. I ain't losing my joy. I'm going to see God one day.
Amen.
How they love me. Many remember how Daddy used to be, son. Oh, how could I ever turn my back on him that loved me with such a great love that while I was yet a sinner that he commended his love toward me? How could I not sell out lock, stock, and barrel to him? And he's given me a lively hope, a living hope, a promised hope, a powerful hope, a prospective hope. What a God. I won't say secondly, and I'm trying to hurry. Not a dead hope. It's not a declining hope. You don't lose it, folks. The Bible said in Hebrews 6:11, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Now, it's not, hey, he didn't say to have hope unto the end. He said a full assurance of that hope. You can have hope without having full assurance. You can kind of teeter-totter around. Well, I hope, but I don't know how strong that hope is. Paul said, I want you to have a full assurance of hope. Hey, for how long, Brother Paul? Unto the end.
Amen.
From the time it began until the time it ends. Hallelujah to God. Now, here's a verse that God gave me at 3:00 this morning. I'm excited about it. Jeremiah 31, 16 and 17. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping. Of course, you don't know anything about that at 3 o'clock in the morning, do you? You don't know much about a weeping preacher at 3 a.m., do you? God said, refrain thy voice from weeping. Why, Lord? My heart's broken. My heart's grieved. I'm confused. I'm mixed up. I'm caught in a turmoil. What am I supposed to do? I'm about to lose what little hope that I have, Lord. And here's what he said. Refrain thyself from weeping. Thine eyes from tears. For thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord. They shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope. Woo! And there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. Hallelujah to God. I'm glad he told me that there's hope in the end for old Brother Hall. And God will reward me. Dry up your tears. Quit your crying. God knows where you're at and God knows what you're doing. And God will reward you for what you're doing.
Amen. Amen.
And you will have hope.
Amen.
In the end. Hallelujah to God.
Yes,
you know what that tells me? That tells me, like Paul, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith.
Amen.
There's a whole lot that's fought the fight, but they've never finished the course.
Right.
There's a whole lot that's kept the faith. They've never finished the course. Brother Steve, I want to finish my course with joy. Whatever it might be, wherever it might take me, whatever I may encounter, whatever battles I may have, troubles that come my way, spiritual fights that come my way, I want to fight a good fight and finish the course that God's laid out in front of me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I made up my mind at 3 o'clock in the morning, He's first, and the rest comes second.
Amen.
He's first. If I had my choice, if I had to offend somebody, I'd much rather offend you than I would offend God.
That's right.
If I had to hurt anybody's feelings, I'd rather hurt yours than hurt God.
Amen.
Better believe that's right, friend.
Yes.
Thank you, Brother Doug. Benny, I appreciate it. Brother Wayne, appreciate the amens. I want to say thirdly, it's not a disappointing hope. Hallelujah. You think God disappoints you? Listen to what he said to old Abraham. Romans 4. He said, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old. Everybody said he was 100. The Bible said he was about 100. Not saying another place 100. He said, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Hallelujah. Against hope, he believed in hope. In other words, old Abraham said, I'm 100 and Sarah's dead. But God said I was going to be a father of many nations. Praise God, I've got hope that God will send me an Isaac. And guess what? There came a day when God sent him an Isaac. I'm telling you that a hope, God will not disappoint you if you put your faith and your hope and your trust in God. He will not disappoint you.
Amen.
Not a disappointing hope. I've got two more little points and I'm done. The positive, and there's just 2 points. Number one, it's a hope that will deliver you. it'll deliver you. He said in Romans 8:24, for we are saved by hope. Now, I don't necessarily think he's talking about regeneration. He may be talking about simply being delivered. That's what the word saved means. You will never be delivered from the dilemma and the calamity that some of you are living in. You don't have some hope in God doing that for you. He said that hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, what does he yet hope for? When Paul was out on that ship in Acts 27 on the way to Rome, the Bible said, and all hope that we should be saved was taken away. The very next verse said, but, thank God for that little three-word but, after a long abstinence, Paul came up out of the ship with hope when there was no hope. Are you listening to what I'm saying? God will give you hope when there is no hope. We got all the money that we need to pay lawyer fees and parts fees and everything. We need another $50,000 on this marathon. Somebody said, can you get it? Hope!
Yes, sir.
You better believe it, friend. Somebody said, that's a lot of money. I know it's a lot of money. It takes a lot of money.
Amen.
We're trying to run two radio stations and a translator. Keep everything up and paid for. Pay salaries and bills. That takes a lot of money. How you going to get it? Hope! Some of you said out there, oh, hope's gone. Well, they've tried to put a lawsuit against us. They filed a complaint. Hope! Well, all hope was gone that we should be saved. But, thank God for that word, but. After a long abstinence, Paul come up out of that ship. He looked at that crowd and said, brethren, you ought to listen to what I had to say. And sometimes some of you and others that's been here should have listened to what this old man's got to say. Some of you and some of them are going to find themselves in a hole that they cannot get out of. Hallelujah. I'm saying it'll deliver. You have hope for the regeneration of your children? Some of you don't have an ounce of hope God saving your children.
Tell it now. Sir. Amen.
When's the last time you prayed for them? You really hope they get saved?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Come on now, listen to Brother Hall. They're precious.
Amen.
Man, I'm telling you, hey, hang in there. Show God you've got some hope in your heart. They'll be saved. I've got grandchildren in here. I want them saved.
Amen.
I can tell them all. They're little sinners, every one of them. But if God loves sinners, so do I. Amen. I was one, but now I'm a saint.
That's right. Amen.
That little baby right there is a sinner. Oh, she's just a, honey, you're good now. You're a good thing. No, there's none good. I'd start out telling them right. You're nothing in you good. You are a sinner. But guess what? Mom and Daddy loves you.
That's right.
Grandpa and Grandma's crazy about you. Woo! Give me big kisses. But they're still sinners. You have hope in their regeneration? Have hope in revival. Somebody said, I don't believe we'll ever have revival.
Great.
Where's your hope?
Amen.
I'm hoping for revival. How about hope that we'll reach the heathen that are lost?
Amen.
Oh, somebody said, Brother Hall, we've done about all we can do. We ain't touched the hem of his garment.
Amen.
We ain't got started good yet, folks. Praise God, there's people dying all around us. What are we doing? How are we praying? How are we hoping? How are we trusting God? Are we Christians?
Go ahead.
Or are we just a crowd of people that gather here three times a week? I'm done with this. I want to say hope is delightful.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, preacher, you went off the rocker. No. Romans 12, verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. That'd be good.
Yes, sir.
In other words, don't be a hypocrite about your love. Don't be a Joab.
Right.
Tell somebody you love them, stab them in the back at the same time. Abhor that which is evil. Do we really abhor that which is evil? We have raised up a generation, and I don't mean to offend nobody, but we have raised up a generation that is so smooth that you cannot say one word about somebody that is wickeder than hell itself without somebody getting offended over it. You know why? We're smooth, friend, on sin. Abhor that which is evil. And be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Y'all love each other? You show each other affection? I believe we do. I believe we hit the ball on that one. I believe we got the ball hit right there. Not slothful in business. Pay your bills. Get a job. Go to work. Pay your bills. Be fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope. When's the last time you had an old-fashioned shouting spell over that lively hope God give you? I mean, when was the last time you had a spell? Because you've got a hope of glory in your soul. Is anybody in here older than Brother Robert and I besides Sister Towery? I'd say we're probably the three oldest garments in here. How old are you, Brother Cater? No, you got me beat, man. Man's 107. No, why you married a woman that old? What'd she say? Come back here and do a little personal preaching. Know what I was going to say? When you start getting our age, them aches and them pains start setting in. I told my wife last night, I said, sweetheart, I'm 60. I mean, I am just that far from the big 70. Now, I didn't think 60 was old, but I'm telling you, 70 is ancient. Sorry about that, sister. Honestly, I didn't mean nothing by that. I'm going to tell you something. I hope I reach it someday. There's one alternative to it. But I shouldn't have said that. I'll put it 110's ancient. I'll change that. But the point I'm making is, friend, that when you start getting our age, Mrs. Tower just told me the other day, she said, I used to rake all them leaves and everything else. I said, I'm getting to where I just can't hardly do that no more. My shoulders get to hurting. My arms get to hurting. I'm going to tell you something, friend. When you're saved by the grace of God and this body begins to lay down, what do you do when your car begins to get old and mileage on it and lays down? I'm going to tell you what you do. You start looking for another one.
Amen.
Ain't that right? Come on in the house, boys and girls. And I'm telling you, when your body starts getting old and you're saved, I'm going to tell you what you do. You start looking for a new one with less mileage on it. That's why I can rejoice in that hope. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Amen. I might soon be 70, but I'm going to get a new one one of these days. That'll never grow old. Brother George sings that song. In a land where we'll never grow old. Then he used to sit with his grandpa, Taylor Porter, and Taylor picked that hummingbird guitar. He'd say, let's sing one, Benny. He'd sing, let's sing where we'll never grow old. And little old Benny and his grandpa Taylor Porter would sit there and sing that little old song, where we'll never grow old. In a land, I still hear him. In a land where we'll never grow old. Amen. And Papa Taylor's in that land where they'll never grow old.
Amen.
And hallelujah, I'm going there and I'm telling you, I got a tug.
Amen.
I got an anchor. I want to say this for a close. I got an anchor for hope. And praise God, it ain't weighing me down. It's a lifting me up. Amen. It's behind the veil. And I'm wanting to go home. I'm wanting to see the loved ones on the other side. If it wasn't for these little brats and Mrs. Hall, I wouldn't care to leave right now. I shouldn't have called you a brat, Doug. I've been hard on you all day today, son.
Right.
Kitty's briefcase on him and everything else. I've been hard on him. Hope. Begotten us again. Now there's, and it's by His abundant mercy. Get a hold of this and you'll get a hold of the verse. Because of His abundant mercy, begotten us again. Boy, give us life once, but we throwed it down the drain. But because of His abundant mercy, He's given us life the second time. Only this time, it cost Him His life. And He gave it to us by the resurrection, by His resurrection from the dead. What a God. Let's
Amen.
Stand together.
Amen.